Welcome to the 2013 edition of Rocket Football Online. This is our first podcast of the season. Crittenden County opens its 2013 campaign Friday night at Fulton City. Back playing some teams that we hadn't played in a couple of years. Fulton City is a newcomer or back to the future, so to speak. This is a team that we've played traditionally year in and year out until the last couple of years when we moved to 2A. Now we've picked them back up. We're going to go down there in the first year of a two-year contract. Fulton City was 1-10 last year. They beat Jackson Preparatory. It was their only victory. But they've got a lot of kids coming back, some good skilled athletes, and will pose a significant challenge to our young Rockets who are inexperienced this year, coming off a 3-8 season a year ago, and very few starters coming back. First of all, we want to talk about Coach Starnes. Many of the Rocket loyal fans understand that he's been under the weather. Coach Starnes has been diagnosed with early stage colon cancer, had surgery on Wednesday in Paducah, is recovering very well, resting comfortably, and will be in the hospital a couple more days. We'll be there on Friday night, or so we're told. He's threatened to be in Fulton in some form. But the doctors say he will be there in the hospital. We'll keeping a close eye on him. Want everybody to know that he appreciates the prayers and the thoughts of concern, and says he is recovering very well. Wants everybody to know that. On the sideline, in his absence, Jeremy Wheeler will be the acting head coach. Jeremy's the new defensive coordinator, first year as a defensive coordinator for the Rockets, and replacing longtime coordinator Vince Clark. And then Jared Brown, otherwise affectionately known as J-Rod, will be calling the offense for the Rockets. And it's going to be a new, you know, both these guys have been stepped up this year in their responsibilities with the team with the absence of Coach Clark. And then now right here out of the chute, these guys are going to be called upon to run this football team in the first game of the season with a young and inexperienced team. So the challenges are great for the Rockets this weekend. We have both Jeremy and Jared Brown here today to discuss the upcoming game. Coach Wheeler, I know this is a very challenging situation for everybody, and we have a lot of concern for Coach Starnes, yet we will be focused on this football game.
Yeah, I mean, starting off Monday when Coach addressed the team and told everybody about what was going on, I think, of course, he did a great job of it. Kind of shows the character of him and the man that he is, and the team just got stepped up, more concerned about his health than anything. But so far, they've had a great week of practice. Offensively, they've really done well. Defensively, could have had a little bit of better of a practice, but I think a little bit was on their minds. But you know, they're looking to come out on Friday night, and I think they're going to fly around to the football and do like we did last Friday at the scrimmage.
Jared Brown calling the plays first time out. Jared's an old Rocket, as is Jeremy. So you guys have been around Rocket football forever. We've been doing a lot of the same things. I know we've put in some new offense this year. Are we going to see a lot of that new stuff this week, or are we going to just stick with some of the old Rocket standbys?
For sure, there's a possibility to see a little bit of everything. It's like every year, one of Coach Sargent's philosophies and something he instilled into me is what are you going to do when the when what you're doing is not working? So we'll just go with the flow and let the players execute. And if the old school stuff works, we're just going to keep on keeping on. Whatever players are working, we're going to beat them to death.
So what goes through your mind here? I know it's got to be it's been a breakneck speed week for you. You learn this, of course, you know this offense, but just learning Monday that this is going to be your deal. You're going to be calling the offense first time. You've done it in JV, of course, which prepares you well for this. But it's nothing like a Friday night game. Is it a little butterflies? Are you excited about this?
Well, I'm definitely excited for the opportunity. I just don't like the circumstances in which the opportunity came. Just let the players execute. Let them do what they're coached to do. Try to put them in the best position possible for them to do their jobs. And it's just going to be simply that.
One of the good things we've got on the field is Travis Gilbert. He's been there. You know, this is his third year behind center, and Travis is he's a coach on the field, a good kid to have back there, especially in a situation like this where the head coach is gone and you guys are running the show for the first time. So you got to be confident in him. And then Brendan Phillips at fullback this year, a starting fullback. He's been in the backfield. This is his fourth year to be in the backfield. So that's got to be a big confidence booster for you.
Oh, very much so. Really, a lot of those guys, even though inexperienced, some of the plays I plan on running are things that they've done well at the junior varsity level. And having Travis out there, because even when I had him in JV and he was a JV quarterback, I might get a little bit too fired up, and he was the one with the calm face, and he was the one that was ready to go. And Travis is even keel all the time. It's hard to read Travis a lot of times. And Brennan is, he's just, I'd almost call him a professional in a way. He goes about practice the same way. He goes about the games the same way. Great leadership on and off. The young man is just outstanding.
The other two guys you're going to have in the backfield are Dylan Hollis and Lane Wallace, and I know both Dylan Hollis was out for the scrimmage last week, but I know Lane had a good game, and expect a lot out of those two guys. I assume that Dylan Hollis, who's a sophomore this year, will be he'll be ready to play this week.
Oh, very much so. In fact, it's been hard holding him back because every 30 seconds he's asking to get in, even while he was injured, and I just kept it, we all just shook our head no. So I believe he's definitely ready to go. And Lane is probably our fastest guy in the backfield, strong runner. He hasn't got a lot of opportunities up until now, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to showcase on the big stage.
Then we've got our receivers and tight ends, Noah Dickerson, who's been around, started a good bit of last season, especially toward the end of the year, became a regular in the lineup, a good dependable player, one of our probably most exciting players, and Daniel Wagner will be at tight end. And you've got some of these younger guys I know you guys are excited about, Castiller and Birdwell and Cosby, backing those guys up. So I'm sure we'll see a lot out of them this week too, huh?
Yes, I hope so. I'd really like to see Noah get the ball in the hands of Noah Dickerson. He is definitely one of our playmakers, and you definitely always want to try to get the ball in the hands of your best athletes. So I'd be definitely looking for ways to get him the ball, and those other guys included.
So we've got some experience with our skill position players, but now then we're going to talk a little bit about up front. And that's where, it's all new. A lot of new faces, a lot of new names. We're not going to – these are different numbers. We don't have a Bebout and a Cozart up front and some of these other guys that we've watched for several years now. So the names you're going to hear about are Fitzgerald and the McKinney boys, who are Travis and Austin. They're not related, not brothers. A lot of people think that. But they'll be at the tackles, and then Fitzgerald will be down at right guard. Cody Caraway will be at center, and then you've got the other left guard, which is kind of been up in the air, and I believe you've settled on this week, maybe moving Zach Tinsley from the backfield to a down lineman in that case. Is that about what you expect to see up front?
That's exactly what it, but I guarantee you one thing up front. You're not going to see a group that's going to go any harder and play as a unit better than this group right here. These guys love being linemen. They love their job, and they understand what their job is. And also, I stress to them all the time, they are the most important guys on the field. As a unit, they are the most important people on the field, because you can have a very average running back or quarterback or receivers and gain yards with an outstanding offensive line playing as a unit. So I have the utmost confidence in those young men. I have to give some credit to Aaron Berry this past week on helping us out with the offensive line. He was a player here. He just graduated 08 or 09. I'm not sure, can't remember which. But he has been very instrumental during this week of practice on getting those guys lined out and getting everybody blocking the right people and things like that. So.
You know, I've watched Aaron. I've been out to several practices and paid particular attention to Aaron Berry, who, like you say, I think he graduated later now. I think it's only been a couple of years that he's been out. And Aaron has shown a great deal of maturity and poise. And you know, the kids have respect for him. And to be able to command respect when you're that close in age, it takes a lot from an individual to do that. And he's pulled it off.
Very much so.
And that's incredible, it has. And he's very... He is a football intellectual, from what I can gather from listening to him. He understands the concepts and the schemes as well as anybody, a seasoned coach. So we're very fortunate to have him. And I know Coach Starnes has been very proud of what he's seen out of Coach Berry so far in preseason. Okay, that kind of wraps up the offense. Now let's talk a little bit about defense. And, Jeremy, that's been your forte. Of course, you're going to have a little more responsibility as the acting head coach this week, but you'll be concentrated particularly on this defensive scheme that you've got for Fulton City. Watch a little tape on Fulton City, run a lot of the spread, things that we've seen in the past and understand. We've run a lot of the same stuff ourselves. And they have that typical quickness that Fulton City does. So what can we anticipate this year, and what is our base defense?
Our base defense is a four-man front. And I think, you know, starting with the front four, you know, we just talked about Aaron Berry. And like I said, you can't say enough great things about him. The last 2 or 3 months, we kind of knew a little bit, you know, about him and what he brought to the table coaching. And then the last week, he's just rose head and shoulders above, very confident in the way he talks to the players, very articulate in how he explains things. And there's a lot of great players that came through here, but it takes a different type of person to actually be able to teach that person. And something we always kind of say is there's no such thing as a bad student, only a bad teacher. And by far, Aaron Berry is a great teacher. And then linebackers, of course, Coach Starnes was taking care of that until recently. And Coach Brown, he's done a great job this week. And secondary, where I spent my last 5 years. And overall, these kids are just very, very disciplined. They run to the ball. They enjoy getting there. They don't really care who makes the tackles as long as somebody does make the tackle. And having Brendan Phillips as our Mike linebacker, like Coach Brown was saying earlier, he is a leader. He is very precise on everything he says, very professional. And you almost have to tell him just have a little bit more fun out here because he is so professional about it. But he keeps that unit, everything from a perfect huddle down to getting to the ball. And it's a pleasure being around all the defensive guys.
At linebackers, you look at Phillips in the middle, and Dylan Hollis played the weak side linebacker. And then on strong side, looking at Zach Tinsley. But then you've also got a couple of young kids that are coming on. Mason Myers has looked real good in practice. Both sides of the football running the ball. And then at linebacker, so we'll see him a lot. And then Austin Sitar is another kid that's I know y'all are impressed with his ability and the nose for the ball. Up front, you mentioned Travis McKinney and Daniel Wagner, Austin McKinney, and Fitzgerald are your guys up front. Fitzy and McKinney will play the interior, the two tackles, and then defensive ends will be Travis McKinney and Daniel Wagner. Free safeties, Dickerson. You got Dickerson and backed up by Nick. It's Nick Castiller and strong safety Wallace, and then Castiller is probably his backup there too. And then on the corners, Cosby on one corner and the old faithful Travis Gilbert on the other side. Who is, you know, we've talked about him year in year out. Technique wise, we hadn't seen any better. You know, if he had 4.7 speed, he'd be going somewhere.
Oh, Travis, he's just a pleasure to coach, and he's anytime in DB practice, you almost have to have Travis out there as every example because he's such a technician. And you're right, if he was a little bit taller and a little bit faster, you know, a whole lot more people would be talking about him. And other than that, off the field, he's just a great young man. Can't say enough good things about him. Noah knows, he has a nose for the football, even though he's back there at free safety. He still comes up, and I tell you what, he's a hitter. He loves to hit. Of course, everybody knows Lane Wallace, how he is. You know, he was basically a linebacker back there at strong safety. Cosby and Birdwell, the other ones, you know, they're still learning. You know, there's a lot of potential, a lot of upside for them just because they're hard work ethic. You know, they're just tough kids. And then you got Castiller that can pretty much play about every position on defense, and he'll do it with a smile on his face. And, you know, the big two players I'm looking forward to, actually three. I think Zach Tinsley is going to have the game of his life this Friday night, and I think Austin Sitar is also going to be up there for it, and look for a lot of good things out of Daniel Wagner.
And looking at special teams, Travis Fitzgerald is going to be your new long snapper. That's a new position for him this season. And then you've got Noah Dickerson, who did most of the punting last year, do that rugby-style punt where he's on the move. And then kicker is Micah Holloman. This will be his senior season. Micah's been around since he was a freshman, and he is he's almost automatic. Good guy, you know. Good to know you got him after a touchdown, and then whenever you get in close too on fourth down, he's shown his ability to make some long field goals. Fulton City is a team that every year, every time we play them, you know, we talk about their athleticism, and so you just sometimes don't know what to expect. And I believe they're more of the same this year. They've got four or five players that can really really scoot athletically. What do you guys? What's the key? What do we got to do? Who do we have to stop in order to win this first football game?
I think, you know, defensively, I think our front four, you know, we're going to put a lot on their shoulders tomorrow night and have them move the line of scrimmage. And I think, you know, they're well coached, our guys, so, you know, they will move the line of scrimmage, and we're going to get to the football. Main thing is just try to contain that speed, and that's where our discipline and our off-season training of the kids working so hard, you know, should pay off. You know, hopefully they don't ever break one, but any play, I mean, it can be, you know, third and 16, and, you know, they might run something and break one outside. And that's what we have to contain, and we've been preaching on it all week long of what we have to do. And then when we're on offense, you know, like I said, Coach Brown, he's got a great game plan, and let him talk more about that. But I'm actually more excited to see what he's going to do tomorrow night on calling things than I'm looking forward to on the defensive side.
Well, Fulton City, the Bulldogs, they have a kid named Michael Thomas. He's a quarterback and plays. They might move him out and play him at receiver. Plays defensive end, number 10. Where's number 10? He's got a wing on him, doesn't he? He can sling it.
Oh, he doesn't even have to take a step, and he can sling it downfield. And they definitely got the speed to catch up to the ball, because as far as he throws it, they're going to have to catch up to it. But you know, hopefully our safeties will stay back when it's time to stay back, and you know, bat the ball down, go pick it, and then when it's time to come up, hopefully they'll come up and put their nose on the ball.
Coach Brown, looks like they've got three other kids that can scoot too. They got Ken Murphy, Atemius Joy, and Michael Downing. Looks on film like all those guys are going to be very very quick and a challenge for our defense to keep them corralled.
Very much so. That's just a typical Fulton City team. You know, I don't know how much more you can't really beat a dead horse too much. I mean, they are a typical Fulton City team. And, you know, this week I spent a lot of time watching their defense, of course, and there have been a few times that they were caught out of position. But because of their speed, they were able to quickly get back in position, which if they were a slower team, it potentially could have been a touchdown against them. But they were so fast. They were back on the football in a heartbeat. I can't say enough about that number 10 from a defensive end standpoint. He's very technically sound. You block down on, or you try to block down, he's going to jam you into the line. And and when he does come upfield, he has enough discipline to stay, you know, with the deepest back. So number 10 is quite a ball player. Defensively, as long as our guys play disciplined, do what they're coached to do, we should be okay.
You know, it just drives you crazy to watch these teams, doesn't it, who can do things so outside the norm technically and technique-wise, and then recover because of their athletic ability.
It can be frustrating.
Yeah, but Fulton City, like I say, it is what it is, and that's a team we go play. It's a team we've had our way with over the years, and we expect to have our way again. And we, again, want to say our thoughts and our prayers and everything are with Coach Starnes and his family, Angela's wife and his daughter Lana, as he makes this recovery. And, you know, cancer is a scary thing, but, you know, if anybody can tackle and arrest this, you know, Coach Starnes is one of those guys. We all know how he is, and he's a type A personality, and he's gonna meet it head first in the hole, isn't he? I mean, that's what he's done so far. And he's, you know, but it's still a scary thing for everybody around you and for you when you're going through it. And that toughness and all that he wears, that persona, you know, we know deep down that it's a difficult situation. And we love him and care about him and his family. We want him back on the sidelines as quick as we can. Any last words from you guys? Big week.
It's been a big week. You know, the big thing, like I said before, is the players have just just rose up. The coaching staff has done a heck of a job with all the first stuff that goes on during game week and meet the Rockets and all that. And, you know, everybody got heavy hearts thinking about Coach Starnes. But, you know, it makes you smile when you realize that there's people out in life that kind of talk the talk and he walks the walk. Literally, you know, last night, you know, I heard a story when I went to the hospital that, you know, nurse says he can take a little walk down the hallway. She wanted him to turn right to walk down about four or five doors, and he hooks a left and walks to the end of a long hallway and comes back. You know, and that's just him. And,
so a busted play.
He marches to his own drummer. He, you know, I think he took that over as that was his Rocket Stadium, and you know, he had a smile on his face, and you know, it was great to see him. It was hard to see him last night in the hospital, but like I said, we know it's just a matter of time. He's going to be back where he belongs on the sidelines, and you know, being the general of this team, and let us go back to do what we do and win some football games and make good fine young men that we try to do here.
Hey, come out and support us. I know Fulton City's a long drive, it's about 2 hours, something like that. But I don't know if people realize how much fan support really, and I don't know if they realize how much the that the players notice the fan support and things like that. They're not supposed to be, but I know for a fact they're up there looking up there in them stands and they hear you cheering. You know, they know who comes to the games. They know really who has a love for Kearney County football. So as many people, I mean, I hope we got 500 cars following us down to Fulton City when we leave at 3 o'clock from Rocket Arena, or 3:30, excuse me, from Rocket Arena.
So the
bus will be leaving at 3:30. Follow us down there if you know how to get down there. Take a day off from work, it'll be okay.
And speaking of how to get down there, you know, get on that Penny Route Parkway and go to Fulton, and when you get off, head into town, take a ride on West State Line Road, and you can't miss the stadium. The lights will be on. This kickoff at 7:30. This is a little later than some of the other games that are scheduled for this season. You know, we kind of made that transition to these 7 p.m. kickoffs, but this first one of the season at Fulton City Friday night will be 7:30 p.m. We'll see you down there. Good luck, guys.